The story we're about to tell is quoted in non-Jewish textbooks, in ancient folklore, and it's also quoted in our textbooks. It's quoted in the Gaonim, it's quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes, and the story has a very good message. When we finish the story, we'll add an interesting historical footnote. The story goes that there was once a very, very kind and good and caring king out in the desert. We'll call him King Solomon, just to give him a name. Okay, so there's this King Solomon out in the desert. And then there's another king who wants to know about this King Solomon out in the desert. So we'll call the second king King Jack. So King Jack sends out his painters and his sculptors, and he tells them, go out to that King Solomon in the desert and bring me back a painting and a sculpture of what he is like. So they go out and they see him, and they're very skilled. And the sculptors, they sculpt an exact figurine of this King Solomon. And the painters, they paint an exact picture of this king. And they come back to King Jack and they bring it. And King Jack calls in his wise men. And he says, look at this man. Tell me what type of person he is. Now remember, this King Solomon out in the desert has the reputation of being the finest person, the kindest person. Everything good has been said about him. So his wise men come and they look at the sculpt and they looked at the painting and they analyze it and they say, okay, this man has a tendency to be a murderer and a thief. And they go on and on about what kind of terrible person he must be. So the king looks at them and he looks at the paintings and he says, okay, someone here is a liar. Either my painters and my sculptors are liars. They painted and they sculpted someone inaccurately for me. Or my wise men are worthless. And the only way I can verify who's in the right is if I myself go out to the desert and see. So he gets his chariots ready and he rides out to the desert and he comes out to the camp of this King Solomon. And as he's standing there, the king steps out and he sees him and he says, oh, wow, my painters painted so accurately. My sculptors got it so right. My wise men must be worthless. And he's standing there looking, and this King Solomon sees King Jack, and he goes out to him and he says, what brought you here? So he tells him the whole story, and he says, I'm going to come back and kill all my wise men. They're worthless. So King Solomon says to King Jack, he says, no, 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 don't kill them. They're right. So he said, what do you mean? He said, they looked at my features, and they saw what my natural tendencies are. If I would have been born with the tendency to be kind and good and fair, What would that have been worth? That's just my tendency. I was really born with the tendency, just as your wise men said, to be a liar, to be a thief, to be a murderer. Everything they said is true about me. Those are my predispositions. But I overcame all of them. And that's why I am the great king that you've heard I am. So this is the story. So the historical footnote is that when the story is quoted by the Tiferes Yisrael in Pirkei Avos, he quotes it about Moshe Rabbeinu. And that sent the European world into an uproar against him. The Tiferes Yisrael was a big tzaddik who lived in Tzfat. He'd get up early in the morning and go to mikveh and sit with his talis and tefillin and learn all day. And he wrote a fantastic commentary on the Mishnah. But he wrote a few things that became very, very controversial. Two things. One of them was this. When he wrote this about Moshe Rabbeinu, so the rabbis went up in arms against him. And that's why some Hasidish Batei Medrash will never have his firm in there. At any rate, there's also a Rambam in Shmona Prakim that disagrees with this story. Because the Rambam writes, we admire a person who is predisposed to being kind. When do we say that you shouldn't have any predisposition in the direction of the Torah? We say that with regards to the mitzvos that are not logical. You have a mitzvah that are not logical to us. You have a mitzvah not to eat meat and milk. A person says, I don't even feel like eating meat and milk. We tell him that's not what the Torah meant. The Torah meant, you should say, I'd love to eat a good cheeseburger. I don't, because the Torah told me not to. There's no reason you should have a predisposition not to eat meat and milk. It's true that you have some people who say, I am predisposed to be a murderer, but I'm not. I've overcome that. That's great. That's the way they should be. They should overcome it. But at the end of the day, if you ask me what's more admirable, says the Rambam, it is far more admirable if a person is born with the predisposition not to be a murderer. He says when it comes to the logical mitzvos, we do admire a person who is predisposed to go in line with the logical mitzvos, with the mitzvos that we can understand. That's how the Rambam breaks it up in Shmona Prakim. So coming back to our question here. Firstly, everyone agrees that we have free will. And even if we are predisposed to doing all kinds of evil things, we were given the capacity and the responsibility to overcome that predisposition. But nonetheless, we would rather for ourselves and our children that we would rather be predisposed to doing that which is right, to being good, kind people. And that's the idea that Ron was talking about, that the forefathers wanted wives who came from families that had good traits so that their children would be predisposed, their children would have the inclinations, the natural inclinations, the natural tendencies to be good, kind people. When it comes to philosophies, that's something that's not inborn. A person can have a father who was a Christian and he will end up being a Muslim, and his father's predisposition doesn't affect him when it comes to philosophies. The nurture, the way he's brought up, does affect him, but only to a point. Yeah?
So the king, the chief, his potential wasn't his most potential. He achieved his potential, corrected himself, but he didn't take on extra characteristics of someone else other than his father.
We don't know who his parents were.
Yeah, I know, but
every person has the responsibility to realize their potential and not be limited by where they came from. My father has a saying. My father has two sayings that I think are important to remember. Number one, my father always used to tell us, I am your minimum, not your maximum. You have to do at least as much as me, but I expect you to do more. But that's your job in life. And the second thing my father always tells us is, we are all our parents' survivors. We're all survivors. Every person can say, I survived. I remember during the teenage years, things were very rough between me and my parents. And it lasted beyond the teenage years. It lasted till I was in my 20s. There were many harsh disagreements between us on the course I wanted to take in life, and they didn't agree with it. And at some point, my father said to me, when you leave the house, you're going to say, I'm a survivor. And then my father said to me, you should know, every guy that comes out of his parents' house says, I'm a survivor. On some level, every person's a survivor of his parents' foibles, his parents' weaknesses. At the end of the day, we all have to overcome the scars that we could potentially have from our upbringing. And if we're going to live with the excuses of, well, I went through A, B, C, and D, so then every person can have excuses. Every person thinks they had it as rough as can be and has excuses. So,
if you ever want to find out, just ask someone to swap.
You know, they tell the same story about Socrates. I wrote in a book in Nietzsche.